I didn't nice. It's not really cold. How many? And that begs the question, where is it that you want to be? I think some of us might say, you know, I'd like to be in a snowy, mountainous location in a nice, rustic cabin. No phone, no internet. Turn off the world, shut me out, leave me alone for a few weeks. How many like that? Nobody can get a hold of me for a few weeks, just leave me alone. I mean, like, no, put me in the middle of everything. I mean, like, I don't care, just put me on a beach somewhere with, you know, 85 degree temperature. I mean, like, I don't care, eat a place as long as there's good restaurants nearby. I know I get Brother Jesse there. He and I are brothers on that. Amen. We start the year with hope and hopefully a plan. How many have a plan? How many know where you want to go? When we stand here in 2021 and you look back on 2020, what is it that you want to have done? What's your plan for 2020? Where do you want to be in a year? Where do you want your life to go? Some are going to get married. Some, do you have a plan to get closer to God? Or is it on cruise control? How many have a desire that says, I want to see God do this or that in my life? I have things that I need God to touch. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? Maybe it's not about a physical place. Maybe it's an emotional place. Maybe you want to be in a better emotional place in a year. Maybe it's a better financial place. Anybody want to be in a better financial place? I think we could probably all say yes to that one. Exodus chapter 24. Let me take your attention to verse number 12. And I'm very thankful that I don't have to worry about time today. The AFC played its games yesterday, so I know nobody has to worry about any of that for today. Unless there's some secret closeted NFC fans in here. So I know I don't have to worry about that. And the Chiefs didn't even play this weekend for some strange reason. And something about Dolphins and Patriots and all that. So we're good. We don't have anything to worry about. So, you know, it's just us and the Lord, right? I realize that next Sunday will probably be a different story, so I'm going to stretch this one out as long as I can. No, I won't. I'll not keep you too long. Exodus chapter 24, verse 12. Don't miss this verse. Look at this. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tables of stone. And the law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now, what I really want you to notice is the 12th verse and then this verse right here. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. Everybody catch that? 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Look back at verse 12. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there. I've got a plan for your life. And when he gets there, the glory of the Lord covers the mountain, and a cloud covers them for 6 days. And on the seventh day, God speaks. I find this fascinating. God says, hurry up and wait. I've got a place for you to be. Hurry up and wait. My title this morning is, where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? If you'd set your Bibles down, let's ask the Lord to help us. And if you don't have a plan for your life, I say, Lord, why don't you give me a plan? God, why don't you speak to my heart and help me know what things I should be seeking after? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this day and the your power, your presence that we felt in worship. And Lord, we thank you that your presence is in this place. And Lord, that you have arranged to meet us here. Just us. We're nobody special. But Lord, your presence is here. You've come to meet with us on this Sunday morning. Lord, we're so grateful to be in your house, to be in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your glory. We believe, Lord, that when you are here, anything becomes possible. Lord, that when you show up, every miracle becomes possible. So we come with our lives. Sometimes, Lord, we're unsure of what tomorrow brings and which direction we should head. So, Lord, you commanded Moses and gave him a direction. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us and give us a direction so that when we get to the end of 2020, we're in a better place than we were at the beginning of 2020. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Magnify him. The Lord is good. You can be seated. I would be remiss if I did not say thank you to everyone that's come and helped us work on these projects. I'd probably forget somebody's name, so I'm not going to try and call names, but you know who you are. Those that have come and helped in different ways, large ways, small ways, thank you for helping us get these projects done. We have more that we're going to be doing over the next several months, and we want the Lord to take our efforts and bless it and use it for his kingdom. And somebody said amen. Amen. So, Exodus chapter 24, if you are familiar with your Bible much at all, you realize that this is the Exodus. It is their exit out of Egypt. If you remember the story, if you remember the word, they've left Egypt under the direction of Moses. God's done those miracles with the parting of the Red Sea. They've come across the other side. They've gone a few weeks into the wilderness. And now God says, all right, I've delivered you from Egypt. I've brought you out of your bondage. Now it is time for you to become the people that I intended you to be. This is a moment where God is giving them direction on how they're going to live and become the people God wants them to be. So in that, especially at the beginning of the year, I find a commonality. If not where you are, then perhaps just where I am. I feel like we start the year out with hope, but by the time we get through December, it's like, I'm tired, I'm weary. Can this year get over with already? I'm ready for a fresh start. In other words, I'm dragging myself through the last remnants of the Red Sea, and it's time for a fresh beginning. And this is what's taking place for the children of Israel. They have come out of the land of bondage. They've made their way through the Red Sea. They've gone through that terrible scare when it looked like Pharaoh's army was going to catch up to them. But God makes a way when there seems to be no way. They cross through on dry ground. As the Egyptians try to follow them, God lets the sea come back together, drowns the Egyptians. They realize we have been set free. Now, I don't know where you are in your mind or your heart this morning, but I want you to understand that if you are in Jesus, you've made it through 2019. You are in 2020. You're free. You're free of 2019. Unless you bought stuff on credit, you're still going to pay for that. But the calendar says you're free. You've turned the page. You're ready for a fresh start. You're ready for a new beginning. The year stretches out in front of you. It's wide open. God can do anything with a fresh page. Amen? This is your moment. What is it going to be? You are free. You can write down, here's what I want God to do in my life. Here's what I see God doing. I want to grow in God. I want to memorize so many verses of Scripture. And I want God to move in my life. And I want to see Him heal this and fix this and help me lose 25 pounds. And I want to see all these things. Right? Nobody else has the 25? Okay. That may have more than 25 pounds. It's okay. How many? Less? Okay, whatever. Sure. Okay. We have a thought, a plan, I hope. If you don't, can I tell you that tonight is a great time to go, so you know what, God, I'm starting the year. I'm not even a week into it. I'm not sure where I should be doing with my life. How am I going to grow in you, God? I want to know you more. What do I do? I promise you, God would love to speak into your life. This is exactly what God is doing now for the Israelites. They don't know what to do. They've been in bondage for 400 years. They don't know how to be a free people. They don't know how to worship Him. They don't know how to live for Him. God says, I understand. There's so much you don't know. I will show you. Come up to me in the mountain and I will give you, Moses, I will give you what you need so that you can become my people. And I will tell you tonight, today, tonight, that God will speak to you so that you can become His. See, living for God is not just a box on a checklist somewhere that we can put a little gold star on and say, I did my spiritual duty. Living for God is having a relationship with Him where you can talk with Him and He talks with you and His Spirit dwells inside of your life and it changes your perspective on life and you realize God's plan for your life and suddenly things that you thought were impossible become possible. And things that you could never imagine suddenly become taking place in your life. Why? Because now you're in a relationship with Him. You become His and He becomes yours. You become His child and He becomes your God. This is what God is wanting to do for the Israelites. And so He speaks to Moses. He says, I want you to leave this low place. I want you to come up to me in the mountain. I want you to notice the words, come up. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to have to go up higher. God did not say, come over. That would imply they're on the same level. God said, come up. How? We're not exactly sure of the precise location of Sinai. I realize that between Egypt and Israel, we have a thing called the Sinai Peninsula. And for many years, people thought, well, that must be where the Mount Sinai is. Scholars are now beginning to think, yeah, it's probably not actually on Mount Sinai. It's probably misnamed. A lot of them think that Mount Sinai itself is actually somewhere in southern Arabia. Closer to where Yemen is today. Maybe not quite that far south, but over in that direction. Some are going to think that perhaps it's not in the south, because that would have put them way too close to Egypt. So not really. No, my point is to say this. We're not exactly sure where Sinai is. So we can't go there and look at the geography of it and measure its height and see exactly what was involved. But the word itself gives us a clue. The word Sinai in the Semitic languages means thorn covered. In other words, it's not an easy journey. And I'm going to tell you right now, we love things easy. We love microwaves. We love instant messaging. Right? When we send somebody a text, we expect them to answer back within the first few minutes. If they haven't texted back within 10 minutes, we want to know, what's wrong? Are you mad at me? No, I was in a plan. I couldn't get a service in there. Right? So, we love things quick and instant. We want immediate gratification on things. We like to have it happen right now. God doesn't always do that. Number one, I want to caution you. God does not always do that. But look what He says to Moses. Come up this thorn-covered mountain. You know the problem with that? It's difficult. You're going to get scratched up. It's going to hurt a little bit. It's not easy. I'm going to caution you right now, if you really want to draw close to God, there are moments it's not going to be easy. I'd love to tell you that living for God is a bed of roses and somebody's gone and stripped out all the thorns. It's not the case. If for no other reason than simply this, there is an enemy who does not want you to draw close to God, and he will do whatever it takes to try to stop you from drawing close to God. In other words, let me put it clear. Let me just bring it down to where it is. If you're going to draw close to Him, if you're going to hear from Him, if you're going to get from Him what you need, it's going to require this one thing. Persistence. Determination. If it's difficult, I got to keep going. If I get scratched, I got to keep going. If I start to hurt and my lungs begin to ache and it feels like I'm not making much progress, I just got to keep going. Why? Because when I get there, it's going to be worthwhile. I cannot stop at this low place. If I stay down here, I'll never be up there. He did not say come over. He said come up. That tells me, number one, it's a difficult climb. But it also means I'm going up higher. I'm leaving low things in my life, and I'm going to better things. I can climb upwards. I can climb uphill. I can go to a higher place. I can come to a place where God can move in my life. I can go to a place where I'm face to face with Him. I can go to the place where He speaks to me and things begin to take place. I can climb. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you can do it. You can make the climb. You can make the journey. You can get up there. You don't have to stay where you are. See, too often, we come to this idea that I am not worthy, or I physically can't, or it's too much, or it's only for the select few. You say, Pastor, that was for the select few. It's just Moses and Joshua. I got you on that one. Hang on a moment. I will tell you that right now, you are in the place of Moses. You are leading your life, your family, your future, out of the things that were into the things that can be. So I want you to put yourself in the place of Moses. You are leading something in your life. If you're a parent, you're leading children. If you're the only one on your job that lives for God, whether you realize it or not, you're leading people on your job. They may not choose to go with you, but you're an example for them. You are a leader. Just because of the fact that God is wanting to move in your life, God is calling you from low things to better things. You don't have to climb. You can stay right where you are. You can say, you know what? I don't want any of that. I am content with where I am. I don't need God to do great things in my life. I don't want God to do, because I don't want the journey. I don't want the hardship. I don't want the pain. I'm just going to stay right here. You can do that. I will tell you that you will miss all the great miracles God wants to do, but you can do that. And if your desire is like, you know what? I don't need God. I can just stay right where I am. I'll just keep going through the same old things I've been going through. That's fine. Go ahead and take a nap. You're good. Oh, don't take a nap, but you can stay where you are. But if there's something inside of you that says, I want more. I want to see miracles take place. I want to see some healings take place. I want to see lives around me change for His kingdom. I want to see God do the miraculous in my life. Then it's time to say, you know what? I cannot stay where I've been. I've got to climb up higher. Don't think this is some kind of accidental moment. When Jesus begins His earthly ministry, remember He shows up, does a few things. Gets announced by his cousin John, calls a few disciples, goes out to the wilderness for 40 days of prayer and fasting, driven by the Spirit, comes back in the power of the Spirit. What's the first thing he does? He calls back again all of his disciples, and then what does he do? It's the Sermon on the Mount. But you ever notice where the Sermon on the Mount takes? In fact, have you ever noticed what it says? Sermon where? On the mountain. It's not sermon in the low amphitheater. It's not sermon on the parking lot. It's sermon on the mountain. In other words, Jesus said, all right, we're getting ready to start something. I called you. I've been gone for a month. Spirit moved me. He comes back in the power of the Spirit, demonstration of the power of the Spirit. And he says, folks, I got some things we're going to say. We're going to start some stuff. I got some things I need to teach and tell you. So let's get ready to go. And they go, we're with you, Jesus. So what does he do? Seeing them. He went up to a mountain and he sat down and he waited on them. In other words, he said, I've got things I'm going to give you. And in fact, these next three chapters, 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew, are considered some of the greatest teaching ever. You can spend years studying Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus taught that after he looked at him and said, all right, I'm going to teach. And he turns around, he walks up the mountain, and he sits down and he waits on them. In other words, he was saying, if you're going to get what I have, you're going to have to climb the mountain. So whether you want to look at it as Moses climbing up to get the word of the Lord on Mount Sinai, or Jesus teaching his disciples, when they started, guess what? Somebody had to climb. If that was true in Moses' day, if that was true in Jesus' day, I can't escape the idea that it's probably true in our day as well. You're going to have to climb a little bit. It's not always easy. It's hard. Anybody ever tried to climb a mountain? Any people like to climb mountains in here? When I was younger, I did. I'm kind of not in the place and shape to do it today. I can remember a few times climbing. I look back on it, it's like, thank you, God, that you kept your hand on us foolish kids. Because we didn't have a clue about ropes and all that stuff, and we just climbed freehand. If my mama knew some of the places I dangled over, she'd have had a heart attack. But God was good to us. So I'm glad all the young people are downstairs, because I'd be saying, don't try it. It'd make me a nervous wreck now. But I understand that if you're going to be in that rarefied atmosphere where the Lord is speaking and giving things and doing things, there is a moment in your life when you're going to have to say, it may be hard and it may be difficult, but if I'm going to get there, I'm going to have to climb. Life and reaching that place in God is at times difficult. How many miracles took place in a moment of difficulty? The woman with the issue of the blood, she just strolled up to Jesus, right? No, she crawled through the crowd. The Syrophoenician woman, when Jesus has withdrawn himself from Israel, and he's over in a Gentile country, and she hears about him, she just walks right up and says, Jesus! And he doesn't know. What happens? He ignores her. The disciples ignore her. And when Jesus finally talks to her, he doesn't talk to her, he talks about her to the disciples. Because they're saying, just do something, Jesus, to make her shut up and go away. He says, it's not right for me to give the bread of the children to the dogs, the wild, ravenous dogs that roam the streets. How would you like that? If you came to pray and you felt like the Lord spoke to Michael the archangel, said, you know, it's not right to give bread to these dogs. How many of you are like, well, I'm not going to take this. I'm getting out of here. I think a high percentage of us would be like, I'm offended, Jesus. How dare you say something like that about me? I'm worth more. I'm leaving here. Not her. What'd she say? It's true, Lord. But even the puppy dogs, and she uses a different word. He uses wild, a word means wild, ravenous dogs. She uses a word that means puppy dogs. Like the housebroken, tamed lap dogs of the day. She says, even the puppy dogs, they'll get the crumbs that fall. It just moves Jesus. Miracles often came out of a moment of difficulty. In other words, somebody had to climb. Whether you look at it as climbing a physical mountain, or climbing through a crowd, or climbing a tree to get a view of Jesus, or screaming for Jesus' attention after he's gone by like Bartimaeus did. Somebody had to work. Somebody had to put effort. Somebody had to climb. In other words, they had to put themselves out. It was hard and it was difficult, but when they got to the moment, it was worthwhile. Why? Because you're not just climbing up for the sake of climbing up. You're climbing up for a purpose. Jesus said, the Lord said to Moses, come up to me. See, too often we like the idea of climbing. We like the idea of testing ourselves. We like the idea of putting our best out to see how well we can do, how well we compete against somebody else. We love the idea of struggle and testing and perseverance. We love stories like that. But understand, what he's calling you to is not just a story to test yourself, but he's saying, come up to me. The reason why you're climbing is to be close to him, to hear from him, to receive a miracle from him, to see him work in your life. You're not just doing it for the sake of doing it. You're not just doing it so you can write a story and somebody can be inspired by all that you went through and you made it through to the other side. But rather, you're climbing up to him because he is calling you to himself. And I don't want you to miss that this morning. He's not saying go through hardship so somebody can read about your life and be inspired. He says, I'm calling you to a place to me. I'm calling you to myself. I'm calling you to leave where you are, not just for the sake of leaving, but for the sake of coming close to me. In a few moments, when I open the altar and I invite you up, I want you to understand, you're not just leaving the pew for the sake of stepping out by faith. Sometimes we do that, yes. But this morning, you're going to step out with this idea. I'm stepping out because I want to draw close to him. I need his voice echoing in my ears. I need his word written on the tables of my heart. I need his spirit in my life. I just don't need to make an example of myself. I don't just need to step out for the sake of putting my faith into action. But this time, I'm coming up to him. God has used this idea as well several times. When Noah and his family have built the ark, and they're waiting on that moment when the rains are going to come and the flood is going to come. They are out, the ark's completed, but they're living outside the ark. And the Lord speaks, Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. The Lord said to Noah, come up into the ark. Why? Things get ready to happen. You've built the ark. The ark is ready. The place is prepared and the time is close. It's time to leave where you are and come into the place that's prepared. And I will tell you that God has a place prepared. I don't know how to say this. It's the feeling I have that, especially for some of us, it's time to leave where we've been emotionally and spiritually, mentally. And it's time to come into the ark and draw closer to Him. Be in that place with Him so He can do in our lives what He wants to do. It's not about just doing. It's about coming to Him. Jesus would say it this way, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come to me. Sometimes we think of going to the altar. We think of going to a place of prayer. We think of going through hardship so that we can survive it and be stronger from it. But He is calling you to Himself. He's calling you to Himself. Are you ready? Are you willing to leave some things that are not necessary so that you can have the things that He wants for your life? Is what He has worth what you have already? Will you trade where you are for what He would do in you? If your answer is yes, then you're in the right place and it's the right moment. And His voice is calling you out of the low places, out of the humdrum, out of the normal, out of the ordinary, out of what has been, into a place with Him. Musicians, if you begin to make your way back, I'm not quite done, but it won't be much longer. You have to look at your life and decide, I can stay where I am and take my chances with the flood. Joshua could have said, Lord, that's a steep climb up that hillside. This mountain is covered with thorns. Can't you bring it down here? The answer is, of course, the Lord could have brought it down there. Where the Lord is sanctified. Where the Lord is, some might say, rarefied atmosphere. If the Lord came down, it would have changed the atmosphere where everybody else was. And it was not for everybody else. They couldn't have handled it in that moment. What He wants to do in your life, what He wants to do in Brother Caleb's life is not necessarily what He's going to do in Brother Michael's life. They each have a climb that's different. Because each one is unique. And if He came down, it changes the atmosphere. He's calling you up to the place that He has for you. I want you to understand, He has a place for you that's unique to you, where He can speak to the needs and the possibilities and the things that can be in you. He's calling you to come up to Him. And there's one more thought. In that passage, in verse 12, the Lord said, come up to me in the mountain and be there. Literally what He says is, come up to me in the mountain and just stay there. Don't leave. We are an impatient people. We like things quick and immediate and easy and instantaneous. Sometimes the Lord takes His time. We read that last verse, the last two verses, verses 15 and 16. So Moses gives instructions to while he's going to be gone, because he doesn't know how long he's going to be gone. He says, I'm going to go up to the mountain. I'm taking Joshua with me. But Aaron and Hur are here to help you if you need anything. So just call on them. I'm going to go get something from the Lord. I don't know what it is. I'll be back. But you guys handle things while I'm gone. Right? He gives instructions. Then he leaves and he goes up the mountain. He's up there. The glory of the Lord comes onto the mountain. A cloud covers the mountaintop. And for 6 days, Moses sits in the midst of the cloud waiting for God to speak. How many have the patience to come sit in the altar and kneel in the altar and wait for 6 days? Could you start praying today and not have God speak to you till Saturday and you don't leave until Saturday? I know you think, but Pastor, I've got a job and I gotta, you know, pay the bills. I get it. We live in a different culture. But because of that, we get so impatient. Moses, just come up and I want you to be there. And when it's right, I'll speak. For 6 days, he's in the glory, in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord is not speaking. Here's my challenge for you as we get ready to stand. The Lord is going to call you to a place in Him. And you're going to ask for things to be dear. God, I want to see you do this. And God, I want you to change this. And God, here I am. I'm yours. And you're going to pray that prayer. And you're going to pray for a week or two. And when February rolls around, you may not have seen it take place. And you're going to be tempted to say, I must have missed it. Pastor just preached a good message and got me all stirred up, but it didn't really change. It wasn't for me. I have to wonder if somewhere around day three, Joshua's leaning over to Moses and saying, hey, sir, you know that thing you said you heard God say about coming up here? Are you sure about that? Because, you know, my scratches are starting to heal. Think about going back down. No. God said, be there. If God does not move before the end of January, will you still hold faith? In other words, can you go up to the top of the mountain and be there? Can you come into His presence trusting Him that He knows right where you are, that He's called you out of low things into better things, and He's going to move and He's going to speak, and a miracle is going to take place in the right moment? It may not be this afternoon. It might be this afternoon, but it may not be this afternoon. It might not be till the third Sunday of February, but can you still come and be in the mountain? Can you still come and worship and climb the mountain? Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, at home in your private prayer time, can you still come and climb the mountain? He said, I thought I heard from God. I thought He was going to do something. When Pastor preached it, I felt the tug at my heart. I just felt like God was going to do it. Yes, He's saying, come up to me in the mountain and be there. Don't leave. But it may be a little while. But just come. Be in the presence. Let that cloud of glory cover your life for a while. God will speak. God will do the miracle. We get so impatient. We climb, we pray, we pour ourselves out. We weep and we cry until we've wet the altar with our tears. And then by Tuesday, when it hasn't happened, we give up. God said, no, we just started sitting in my presence. Hang on, don't leave yet. I'm not done yet. 6 days. 6 days Moses sat in the presence of the Lord. And on the seventh day, He called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Are you willing to climb? Are you willing to be in His presence week after week, day after day, and wait on God's timing? Would you stand with me? Heads bowed for a moment. If you've already made perhaps New Year's resolutions, I need more of God's Spirit in my life this year. I need to be closer to God. And you're on the right track as far as what we're saying. Maybe you haven't thought about it yet. Maybe it's just been, well, I think what I've been doing is good enough. But maybe somehow in the midst of all this, you realize I need to climb a little bit. I just need to wait in His presence a bit longer. If you want to be in His presence, if you're willing to leave some low things, if you're willing to climb up higher, then I'm going to invite you to step out of where you are. With this purpose in mind, I'm climbing up to be in His presence. I'm coming up to Him. Not just for the sake of doing, but I'm coming up to Him. Will you step out? Will you come up to this front? Will you come up to this altar and say, God, here I am. I want to be in Your presence. I want to be in Your place. God, I want You to move and speak in my life. I want You to do the miracles in my life, God. And God, I'm not going to get impatient. I'm going to wait on You, God. I'm not going to give up if it doesn't happen in 24 hours. And I'm not going to quit if You haven't done it in a week or two. And in fact, God, I'm not going to stop if You haven't done it in 2 months. But Lord, I'm determined to be in Your presence. Lord, I'm determined to climb up that mountain and be where You are, God. Because where You are is where I want to be. In Your place, God, is where I want to be. In Your house, in Your spirit, Lord, with Your clouds surrounding me, God, that's where I want to be. If that's You, come right now. Say, God, here I am. Cover me. Cover me.